We're searching for solutions, and the answer is so hard to find. Are the pressures of life getting you down, and you need peace of mind? Why don't you cast your cares on Jesus, for you know He cares for you. Is there anything too hard for Him that He cannot do? Solutions, and the answer is so hard to find. Are the pressures of life getting you down, and you need peace of mind? Why don't you put your trust in Jesus, for you know He cares for you. Is there anything too hard for Him that He cannot do?
God bless you as you're seated today. Amen. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Deacons, come help me. Let's worship the Lord in our giving today. Amen. Let's worship as unto the Lord. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord and your faithfulness. Amen. To the work of the Lord. Appreciate the music this morning, the choir, and the presence of the Lord. Amen. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to the Lord in prayer, would you please? Amen. God bless you as you give, Brother Mark. If you would get ready to sing for us in just a moment. But let me say a couple of things concerning some events coming up Thursday, or sweet trays that will be sold this week. The information is on the table in the foyer, and the school sent a letter out Friday, and we're asking you to participate in that as well. And this is for Sister Marcia, and we wanted to do that for her. So all the information is in the foyer today if you're wanting to order a sweet tray, and they'll be cooking all day Thursday, and those will be delivered Friday, all right? So get that information. And then next Sunday, the Lord willing, after the morning service, we would like to have a dinner, and that is to celebrate Sister Marcia's years of service at BCA, and we're going to celebrate that. So that'll be next Sunday after the morning worship service, and in honor of her, why don't you just bring a card? And I'd like for a lot of her old students to come back. So if you know some of her old students that don't come to service, then why don't you just this week tell them we're having a celebration next Sunday and appreciation for all of her years of service at BCA, and just celebrating that, all right? So that'll be a special time next Sunday, and that'll be right after the morning worship service. So if you would, let's remember that and bring a card, and maybe she's done something special for you, or maybe taught your children, or taught you specifically, and just words are powerful, powerful things. We know there's life and death in the power of the tongue, so we want to celebrate her life next Sunday after the morning worship service, all right, and her contribution in our lives, and look forward to that. If you have any questions, see me right after service today, but Sister Diane will be handling that meal, and we look forward to having a good time together. Amen. Let's worship the Lord today.
I'd like to say I love the Lord, and we are having the bake sale, and so we do need orders by Wednesday, so a lot of good stuff for $25, and I appreciate Sister Marcia. She's been such a blessing to me, and it's so good to see her here today. I just pray the Lord would encourage her heart.
There's a lighthouse on a hillside, and it overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more.
And I thank God
that lives around us, they say tear the lighthouse down. While you see the big ships, they don't sail by that way anymore. And really there's no need of it hanging around. Oh, but then my mind goes back. Life. I'm glad that it's standing there on the hill.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. You see, Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of
that lives around us, they say, tear the light house down. Why you see the big ships, why they don't sail by that way anymore? And you know, really, there's no need of it hanging around. Oh, but then my mind goes back to that stormy night when it was just in time I saw the light. Yet was that light on that old lighthouse, and I'm glad that it's still standing there on a hill.
And I thank God for the lighthouse.
Are you glad for the lighthouse?
Shake your neighbor's hand. Step across the aisle. Amen. Tell your neighbor it's good to see him in the house of the Lord today. Read with me in two passages of Scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and then also Revelation chapter number 4, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and also Revelation chapter number 4, amen. As you're turning there, why don't we just go to the Lord in prayer, ask the Lord to help us today and meet with us in this service, And why don't you see who's standing beside you? And as you pray, why don't you just pray for them? Ask the Lord to help their life today and to bless them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to know you, to be in your house. And we pray one for another today. Lord, those that have heavy hearts, we pray you'd lift them. Those that are discouraged, Lord, we pray you would encourage them. Those that are seeking direction and a deeper walk with you, guide their steps. Father, today as we look to your word and exalt your name, I pray all men would be drawn unto you. And we'll praise you for it. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, that name above every name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. First part of this verse I'd like to draw your attention to. The Bible says, A door was opened in heaven. Opened in heaven. That door opening in heaven has stayed with me for the better part of several weeks. I want to talk to you today about heaven is open for you. A door was opened in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 12. When you have it, say amen. The Bible says, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Let's read it again. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you about heaven is open for you. John writes about that place called heaven. I'm glad this morning there is the reality of heaven, aren't you? Amen. Amen. The reality of heaven. I want to talk to you about that in just a little while. But also that door that was opened in heaven, the activity in heaven. So I want to talk to you this morning about the reality and the activity in heaven. One writer said this, Think of stepping on the shore and finding it heaven. Think of taking hold of a hand and finding it God's hand. Think of breathing new air and finding it celestial air. Think of feeling invigorated and finding it immortality. Think of passing from storm and tempest to an unknown calm. Think of waking up and finding it home. That, my friend, is heaven. I'm glad for that comforting thought that we have about heaven. It is a comforting thought to think about heaven. It's a probing thought to think about heaven. How wonderful heaven is going to be. What we're going to be doing there, how glorious it is going to be. And how many realize that the half has not been told of what God has prepared for us. Amen. I love how Vance Havner says, when someone asks why is certain things not revealed in Scripture concerning heaven, and he said it was kind of like a little boy eating his spinach with a chocolate cake right beside him. He said if that chocolate cake was right there, he'd have a hard time eating his spinach. He said, so if God told us everything about heaven, we'd have a hard time with the spinach in this world. But we do know enough in Scripture that I want to go. I'm thrilled and comforted by the thought about heaven, and I'm convinced today there is a place called heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus said that he went to prepare a place. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not a feel-good philosophy to get through bad times, but I believe heaven is a literal place. I mean, there are those that teach when the body dies that the soul goes to sleep. Nothing can be further from the truth, friend, for when we read in Scripture, to be absent in body is to be present with the Lord. We read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. As their bodies were lowered into the ground, their spirits and their souls were much alive. And how many knows Lazarus was in the presence of the saints of the ages? So I don't believe in soul sleep, and I don't believe in a place called purgatory either, where there are those that teach that when you die that you're put in this kind of a holding place, that you're judged for your sins and your sins are paid for. I got news for you, friend. There's not a person in this building or on planet Earth could pay for the sins that you've committed. Your sins were too grievous. Your sins were too horrendous, and none of us could pay the penalty even if we were allowed. So if I could say it this way, purgatory did happen, but it happened on Calvary. Jesus took my place. Jesus paid my sins and shed his blood. And when I die, I'm going to know I wake up in the presence of an almighty God because of a man by the name of Jesus. I'm glad for that thought, that comfort this morning about heaven. I want to talk to you about the reality of heaven. Notice that as we look to the word of the Lord this morning, heaven is a place. The Bible says in Revelation 21 and 3 that heaven is a place of light. There's no sun there. There's no artificial light because of the glory of God revealed in that celestial city. That heaven is a place of impeccable light. Hallelujah. Can you imagine how glorious heaven will be? For just a brief moment on the Mount of Transfiguration, a few of the disciples and Moses and Elijah were able to see the transcendent glory of Christ as it shined through. And the Bible said they fell down as dead men because he shined as the noonday sun. But can you imagine in that place called heaven where the glory of God, without any inhibition, without any reservation, the glory of God will be able to be displayed throughout all eternity. Thank God. No wonder the writers describe that as full of glory. Right now, we look through a glass darkly. We just see a little bit. But oh, hallelujah for the comforting thought this morning of heaven, that the light of God will be revealed. Here's what I also know about heaven. Heaven will be a place of perfect knowledge. Heaven will be a place of perfect knowledge. Right now, the Bible teaches us that we see through a glass darkly. It was a looking glass. It was a polished brass that Paul talked about, and it gave just a little bit of a reflection. And Paul said, that's what we have now. We just see through a glass darkly. We just see sort of kind of how things might be. But when that day comes and we're allowed to step on the celestial shore, we will see God in his glory, and our knowledge will be perfect. And thank God for that, friend. Our knowledge will be full. There will be nothing hid from us but the plan of God. Anybody ever had any questions about the will of God or the sufferings of this life and all of those things that sometimes we wrestle with and we never have the answers? But when we step in that place, when we step into heaven, all of our knowledge will be filled. Thank God. Everything will be revealed. Everything will be satisfied. Everything will be glorified through Christ. Heaven is a perfect, perfect place. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that knowledge that will be perfect. Because right now, friend, we only see through a glass darkly. That's what Paul said in the text that I read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Right now, we just see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, because there are those things that kind of hide things from us right now, our imperfect knowledge. Matter of fact, the writer of the Old Testament prophet said that it's almost like looking through a lattice fence right now, trying to see the glory of God and trying to see the glory of Christ. It's like looking through a lattice fence. But in that day, the lattice fence of doubt, the lattice fence of our past mistakes will all be removed, and there we will be able to see him face to face, not through this imperfect world in which we live, but in that glorified state, in that incorruptible state that we know as heaven. And friend, to me, that is an invigorating thought. That is an inviting thought. That is a comforting thought, knowing that when Jesus comes again, he's not coming to where we are at, but he is coming to gather us home to where he is, and heaven is going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. You know, there are those that say, well, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Will we know in heaven as we are on earth? Well, let me read for you the Bible. The Bible says in my text that in the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 said, then shall I know even also as I am known. And so right now, The question really is this: do we even know each other right now? I have no doubt in knowing I'm going to know people in the next world, but I love how the theologians say, do we even really have the ability to know people right now because of the glass darkly that dims our light? Criswell said we won't even know our loved ones until we get to heaven. That's how wonderful and glorious heaven is going to be. We love in part now. We know in part now. Now, we just relationally get along in part now, but in that day, thank God, in that day, as the scripture said, when Moses died, he was gathered to his own people. When Abraham died, he was gathered to his own people. When Isaac died, the Bible said he was gathered to his own people. When Jacob died, the Bible said he was gathered to his own people. And then Jesus come along in Matthew 8 and 11 and said, there is a day coming, the kingdom of heaven shall be revealed, when they're coming from the east and they're coming from the west, and they're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they're all going to be together. Oh, hallelujah. I say this morning, what a glorious privilege you and I have that know that our ticket is purchased, that our home is secure, that Jesus has paid the price, and heaven will soon be ours. I'm not willing to lose that promise. I'm not willing to give up that promise, but I want to see it come to fruition in my life. Matter of fact, I believe we'll know our loved ones in heaven as Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration knew those Old Testament characters as Moses and Elijah on that mountain without ever having to be introduced to them. There was that revelatory moment of knowledge. I really believe that's kind of a snapshot of what heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be like when we don't see Jesus veiled in humanity, but his glory is able to shine like it did on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then there is Moses and Elijah, and Peter knows them, and all although they were separated by millennia, it was as if they had known each other forever, welded in the family of God. Hey friend, I kind of believe heaven is going to be like that when the saints of all the ages gather around the throne of God, and there we're in the glory of God. We're not going to need introductions, but all of our knowledge, it will be filled. All of the lattice of division, all of the lattices of racism and environmental prejudice will be removed. And there every child of God that has ever lived on planet Earth will gather around the throne of God in ceaseless adoration, begin to shout, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hey friend, I'm telling you, I'm not sad about that. I'm happy about that. And the good news is, I came to tell you today, heaven is for you. Amen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Every one of us this morning, it's our privilege, it's our right, it is our inheritance. How many have got a loved one over in glory? How many has had to say goodbye prematurely? But we sorrow not as others sorrow. I said we sorrow not as others sorrow, but we rejoice knowing today we shall see them again. And when we see them again, they will not be restricted by the things of this life, but more. Mortality shall put on immortality. Corruption will have put on incorruption. And there in the presence of an almighty God, we'll be able to worship around the throne of God. I tell you what it does for me right now. It makes me homesick. I said it makes me homesick when I look around this world and I see the condition of this world. My citizenship is in heaven. My heart is in heaven. My hope is in heaven. I want to go see Jesus. Anybody glad for the promise, the comfort of heaven this morning? Oh, that reality of heaven, it is a place of perfect knowledge. It is a place of perfect knowledge. Heaven is a place of rest. Somebody say, we're just going to sit on a couch throughout all eternity. No, no, no. But when the Bible talks about rest, it's speaking of no more toil, no more labors, no more pain, no more struggle. Heaven is a place of rest. Hallelujah. Heaven is a place of joy. According to Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 4, every tear will be wiped from our eyes because heaven is a place of joy. Hallelujah. How many glad for heaven this morning? Hallelujah. Heaven, my friend, is not only a place of joy and service and rest and knowledge and light. It is a place of permanence. I said it is a place of everlasting permanence. For Paul told the Thessalonians when they were struggling about trying to figure out the coming of the Lord, how's this resurrection thing work? He told them in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. He said, I would not have you be ignorant as others. I want you to know about the coming of the Lord. I want you to understand, but here is what's going to happen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. That's another reason why I believe we're going to know our loved ones in heaven. We're going to be caught up to meet them in the air. And the Bible said, and so shall we ever be with them. But notice the permanence of heaven. And so shall we ever be. Somebody shout, ever be. I said, when we get together, there's going to be no more goodbyes. When we get together, it shall forever be that way. We're going to know them. We're going to be together. We're going to reunite one day in that sky. Oh, hallelujah. Heaven, my friend, is going to be a place of permanence, but it'll be a reunion day as we meet in that sky, as Jesus raptures his church. Know this, he's not sending an angel. Know this, he's not sending any ambassador or escort, but the book says the Lord himself. I said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's going to step out over the sacred balcony of heaven. After that trumpet sounds and resurrects the dead and raptures the church, we're going to meet Jesus in the air. I said the one who died for me, the one who bled for me, the one who went to Calvary for me, I said we're going to see him again. Oh, hallelujah, that hope that I have. Amen. Beloved, know this, that now are we the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be. John said, I can't even explain it. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hey, the first time he came as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but the next time he's ruling in glory. The first time he came and they put him on a cross, but the next time he comes, he's coming reigning in glory. The first time he came, he was ridiculed, ostracized, and forsaken. But the next time he comes, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. The first time he come, they put him in a tomb, and he was forgotten, and it looked like the death had won. But the next time he comes, the last enemy called death will be put to death itself. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy power? I said, there is a man by the name of Jesus this morning, and you and I, friend, have the hope of eternal life. Woo! Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hand and love him this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I love Walter Knight's illustration about the difference between the two destinies of men that are going to heaven and men that are going to hell. Walter Knight tells the story that at the end of World War II, a soldier that had spent 3 years in the South Pacific Sea was headed home on a train in Chicago. He loaded on that train. He threw his duffel bag on the top shelf, got to the conductor and said, how fast are we going? The conductor said, it's good tracks right now. We're doing about 105 miles an hour. He said, how far are we from Chicago? He said, 90 miles. He said, oh, you can't get there fast enough for me. All my family's waiting. Mom's waiting. Dad's waiting. My brother, my baby sister, aunts, uncles. I can't wait to get there. Just a few rows back, there was another man. There was no joy on his face, sorrow countenance. Looked like life had been taken out of his very own body. He was in handcuffs. Police were sitting on both sides of him. That man was headed to a trial in Chicago, guilty of murder, and was going to be sentenced to life in prison. He certainly was not excited to get to Chicago,
because nothing but death and judgment waited for him. That, my friend, is the difference between our two destinies. I understand there are those that may not be excited about heaven because they are not going. They're bound by sin. They're bound by addictions. And the next world presents a world of judgment to them. Death and sorrow and a Christless hell that is their reward. But for you and I said you and I, amen, that have been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, amen, the chains of sin have been broken. The shackles have been loosed, and this morning it is with adoration, it is with joy in my heart, it is with the deepest resolve and the most profound joy that I preach to you and tell you I am excited, I am thrilled to know that when we leave this world, I said we're going to a land where there is no suffering and there is no sorrow and there is no heartache. But oh, you say, why? What is heaven? I tell you what heaven is. It is not those streets of gold. It's not those walls and those gates of pearl and walls of jasper. I don't know what heaven is to you, but I'll tell you what heaven is to me. When John said in the 14th chapter, quoting Jesus, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'll tell you what heaven is to me. Heaven is the presence of Jesus. I said heaven is being in the presence of Jesus. I said I'm glad for all of the glory of heaven, but I want to see Jesus. I said I want to see Jesus. I said he's my Savior. I said my Redeemer. Anybody this morning glad for Jesus? Why don't you lift your hand and say, oh, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank God. Thank God. But notice in Revelation chapter number 4, the Bible said that a door was opened. A door was opened. 5 times in the New Testament, heaven opens up. Acts chapter number 1, heaven opens up to receive Jesus as he ascends back to his heavenly Father. Acts chapter number 1, the disciples watch Jesus go into heaven. The Bible teaches us in Acts chapter number 10, heaven opens again as Peter receives the commission from the Lord. Heaven opens up and commissions Peter. The Bible tells us about Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. When Stephen is being stoned to death and he looks to the glory of God, standing at the right hand of the Father is Jesus himself. As many scholars have noted, the suffering of Stephen brought Jesus out of his feet. He gave Stephen a standing ovation for his martyrdom, but the Bible said, and heaven opened up. I said, heaven is active. Heaven knows what you're going through. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that not only is heaven somewhere that you and I are going and we're looking for heaven, but heaven is also watching you. Oh, I hope you get that in your spirit this morning, that heaven knows what's going on in your life, that heaven knows what you're facing, and heaven opens up to bless and to strengthen and to help you. In my text in Revelation chapter number 4, I believe that's the rapture of the church. I believe you and I, my friend, one day, amen, the Bible's going to tell us that we're able to come up hither. We're leaving sorrow. We're leaving suffering. We're leaving heartache behind. And we're going to be raptured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of God. Anybody glad for the coming of the Lord? Anybody in this building this morning believe Jesus is coming soon? It may be in the morning and it may be at noon. I don't know when it's coming, but I know he's coming soon. But let me tell you, let me close this and get out of your way. The Bible tells us one more time that Revelation records that heaven will open. But this time, it is not you and I going to heaven, but this time it is heaven coming to earth. For in Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 11, heaven opens up, and all of a sudden there is a white horse, and there is a rider on that white horse by the name of Jesus, and he's coming back to rule. He's coming coming back to reign. I got good news, church. You're on the winning side. I said you're on the winning side. Don't be discouraged. Don't be alarmed. Amen. Don't be forlorn. And don't give up hope. Look up. I said look up. Look up, Jesus. I said Jesus. I said Jesus is coming soon. Anybody believe he's coming soon this morning? Why don't you turn, tell your neighbor, tell five people this morning, look up, Jesus is coming. Look up, Jesus is coming. Look up, Jesus is coming. Glory, glory, glory. Ah, stand with me all over this sanctuary this morning. You believe in the hope of heaven. Why don't you lift your hands and love the Lord right now? Glory to God, glory to God. We love you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, praise him like you know you're going. Hallelujah, praise him like you know you're going. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, heaven's for you this morning. Oh, heaven is just for you. Glory to God. I got to be honest, from my perspective, it seems as if in the 21st century, we're a whole lot more worried about making our life comfortable here and forgetting about over there. Friend, this is all going to pass away. I said, this is all temporary. I said, it's all going to be over one day. But soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, help me close this out. I said, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. That's enough to make anybody want to shout. That's enough to make anybody want to praise the Lord that we're going to see Jesus. I said, we're going to see Jesus, my Redeemer. Oh, my Savior, the Lord of glory. We're going to see Jesus. Hold on a little longer, child. One more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. One more valley that we got to go through, leaving our trouble behind. But says someone this morning, say, Brother Austin, don't you see? Don't you understand? Don't you see the pressure? Don't you feel the anxiety of the world in which we live in? I already read in the book, Jesus said, when you see those things begin to come to pass. When Jesus talked about the beginning of sorrows, everything was shaken. He said the beginning of sorrows, everything was shaken. Look up. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. I challenge somebody right now, look up. Look up and see if God isn't on track. Look up and see if God is not in charge. Look up and see if God doesn't have a plan. God doesn't have a purpose. Should I quit now? Should I give up now? Should I compromise now? Should I go a different way now? No, I want to finish my course. I want to hear the Lord say, well done. One more time, lift your hands and love the Lord this morning. Let's give him praise and glory as we get ready to make an altar before the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing it, Brother Mark.
Oh, I want to see him.
Ah, yes.
Upon his face, there was seen forever of a saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice.
Cares of past,
home at last, ever to rejoice. Well, oh, I want to see
glory.
Him. Look upon his face. There was seen forever of a saving grace on the streets of glory.
Friend, if you're here today and you're not ready for heaven, we're getting ready to come to the altar. I want to tell you, heaven is for you. Heaven's just for you. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So when the church comes to pray this morning, step out into that aisle, come to this altar. You don't have to know all the answers. We look through a glass darkly. Anybody that says they've got all the answers, they don't even know all the questions yet. Hallelujah. The more I realize every time I learn something, I realize how much more I don't know. Hallelujah. Anybody that has all the answers, they don't even know all the questions yet. You're going to have some questions, but it's about a person. It's about putting your trust in Jesus this morning. Heaven is just for you. Come on, church. Come on, visitors. Meet me at this altar right now. Let's begin. Let's thank Him for the hope of heaven. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Invite your neighbor to this altar this morning and believe God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, come on and love Him.
Home at last ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see Him.
Oh, come on and love Him right now. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Saving grace.
Oh, Lord, I love You.
Glory. Let me lift my voice.
Hallelujah.
Cares will pass. Home at last, if to rejoice.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
On His face, there will sing forever of saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's the past, home at last, if to rejoice. His face, there will sing forever of saving grace on
Oh, let's stand and sing it.
We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Well, soon and very soon, we are going.
I'm glad I'm going to see Jesus, aren't you? Glory. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Sherry, good to see you in God's house today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Where's Trey at? Remember Trey and Kylie Saturday? They're getting married. All right. So remember that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anything else before we go?
4:30 choir practice.
All right, remember that. Amen. Brother Nelson, lead us to the Lord in prayer, would you please? Lord,